I want to begin this morning reading a passage familiar to you, but it is comes from the book of John. After the death of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them, wrapped it with spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. What if this account were the end? What if this was all there was? What if this, in fact, was the end of Jesus? Yes, he was a good teacher. Yes, he was, in fact, the Son of God. And yes, he did, in fact, die for the remission of sin. But what if the story ended here? A Savior who died, a Savior who was buried, a Savior who was, in fact, bound by the power and the strength of the grave. What if this was all there ever was? What if there never was a resurrection? These thoughts you have right now, these ponderings you have now, probably are much more closely associated with the thoughts of the disciples when compared to what we normally think of and have during the resurrection. You see, the resurrection for us has almost become too commonplace. We're almost too familiar with the resurrection. We do have the beauty of looking at the history and the life of Jesus Christ through the resurrection. But what if it weren't there? You see, for us, it is not quite the surprise that it was for Mary. For us here today, 2,000 plus years away, it's not quite the surprise it was for the disciples when they ran to the tomb and found it empty. Can you imagine the surprise, the overwhelming joy that Mary experienced when she actually did find it empty? I don't think we can. We can try, we can think, but without actually removing the resurrection from our memories, unless we were able to actually remove that event from our thoughts, then we can never understand her surprise. We can never understand. But I'd like to try. Let me ask you to imagine his death without the knowledge of the resurrection. And I'm sorry, but the only way I know how to help you imagine this feeling is to take you back to the time of the passing of a loved one. Someone so very close. Someone so very dear. I want to take you back to that time when the pain in the midst of your very soul was more than you could handle. I'd like for you to go back and think about that time when the challenge of taking the next breath was difficult and you really didn't want to. I'm going to take you back to the time when the tears seemed almost endless. And then even now, the tears that return when something sparks a memory. Judy and I have gotten to where on Friday evenings, Good Friday, we watch The Passion again. And we've watched it each year since it came out. But there's one scene, actually there's a couple of scenes, but here this morning, there's one scene that just really came to mind as I was preparing for this, and it's in the closing scenes of where Jesus is hanging on the cross, and the camera pans around to his mother, Mary, and she's laying prostrate on the ground, and she is just literally tearing at the gravel. She's tearing at the stones, and her hands and eyes are covered with tears and dirt, and her hands are just ripping and grabbing and clenching to the gravel and the dirt and the rocks that are there in front of her. And I can only imagine that she's tearing at the rocks, grasping handfuls, hoping that she could just once again hold him in her arms. And she can't. You remember that feeling? I do. Just to hold her one more time. At that point, it seems almost hopeless. That's what the disciples felt. That's what Mary felt when they saw that it was, in fact, the end. What if that was all there was? But praise our Lord, that's not the end of the story. After finding the tomb empty, John gives this account. Disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said to her, "why are you crying? Why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which of course means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, after assuming that there was no resurrection and now rediscovering the hope of the resurrection, this resurrection story, I pray, means more to you. And in this renewed meaning, we should realize that Christ is not only raised from the dead, as marvelous as that is, but it also represents that the despair, the hopelessness that we experienced there for just that moment, that was experienced by the disciples and experienced by Mary, that hope and our hopelessness and that despair is now gone. It's gone. Not only was Jesus now with them once again, but the promises of God, the promise of His resurrection, was found to be completely true. God's words found to be completely trustworthy. Even in the pain of death, even in the pain of separation, when all of that seems too great, when all of that seems to just overpower us and in fact take us down for that moment, the resurrection is in fact true. The promises of God concerning the resurrection are completely trustworthy. And if they were trustworthy then God's words are completely trustworthy now. Because He's the same God. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the, capital T-H-E, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event in the history of mankind. Bar none. It tells us that God can be trusted. It shows us that God has the power to overcome death. He has the power to overcome the grave. He has the power to, in fact, lift the body that's dead and reanimate with life. When everything else around us seems hopeless, the resurrection points to a greater, fuller, and a more complete life yet to come. So for us this morning, what does the promises of the resurrection hold for you? What do the promises of the resurrection mean to that loved one that's already gone before us? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 speaks to that. Paul said, "I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow. And all of this to the glory of God." Amen? Amen. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise us with Jesus Christ and present us with you in His presence. What a promise! And it's not an empty promise. It is coming from the same God who took Jesus Christ from that tomb and caused Him to stand and address Mary. Here's the beauty of Christ's resurrection for you. Not only do we have Jesus Christ right now sitting at God's right hand, interceding for you, but because of His resurrection, we have the promise for us that we too will be raised from the dead. With Christ's resurrection, our resurrection has already happened. I know that takes a bit of thinking spiritually. But if Jesus Christ's resurrection did in fact occur, which we think it did, and it has, the promise here is that if Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you too will be raised from the dead. So our resurrection is already done. It's not two different events, Christ's and yours. Just two episodes of the same event, the resurrection. Also, the loved one that we shared tears for here just a minute, that we miss so much, she too will be raised from the dead. And the next time you see her, we won't lose her again. because these are true statements. These are true. So Paul once more gives encouragement. He says from Colossians, since you have been raised with Christ. See here, he is speaking of it in past tense as though it already occurred. But yet for these people, it has not occurred. So he's simply speaking of the fullest ability of the promises of God. If you follow that line, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Do not be bound by the troubles of the day. Set your sights on things above. Because you see, this is not the home God has for you. This is not the life God has for you. This is just a bit of the journey. Jesus has gone and preparing a place for you. And He said He would come again and take you to be where He is. So according to these things that I have laid together here, the resurrection is a fact of the past. The resurrection is also a fact of the future for each one who identifies the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. For Jesus Christ has in fact been raised from the dead and has in fact ascended to the Father. And is in fact awaiting that appointed time of when the Father will say, go get your church. Go get your bride. She is dressed. She is adorned. The time has come. Glory be to God for His mercy and His love. Glory be to God for we are in fact in Christ Jesus. He is risen. Let us pray together. Father, our hearts are in fact overjoyed because of the facts of your resurrection. And just as you did raise Jesus Christ from the dead, you will in fact raise us. You will in fact raise our loved ones who have died in Christ. And we will, in fact, have that great day of reunion when we will see our loved ones again. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for the promises based on these facts. We love you, Lord. We praise you and thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen.